Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Tzadi Beis. Getting Yisru Chag to everybody. The rabbi is away today and tomorrow. He's back Thursday, so I'll be covering the next couple of days. We really left off in the middle of a sugya yesterday. We had been discussing the concept of my havel el mevad. So as everybody will recall, just to reset, we were talking about a situation where a woman is married, her husband goes to Medina Sayam, and then there's some form of testimony that her husband died. And one case is where there was only one aid that came and testified that the husband died. The other case is that there were actually two aidim who testified that her husband was dead. And so on the authority of those two aidim, she went off and she got married to another person. And then, what do you know, her husband walks back. And walks back home, he walks through the door, and obviously he's not dead, and despite the fact that there were two witnesses who had said that he was dead. So the question is, what does she have to do? So she has to leave the second husband, obviously, because the second marriage never was able to take hold, because she was still married to the first person, because her husband was never dead, notwithstanding the testimony of the two Edim. The question is, can she go back to her first husband? So the Mishnah that we had been discussing in the ensuing Gemara wanted to draw a distinction between the halacha of what she has to do or what she can do when she gets married on the authority of only one aid, and that's considered to be with the assistance of Beis Din. So where she gets married with only the testimony of one aid, so the assumption is that she herself is going to do some independent investigation, and therefore, if she obviously failed in the independent investigation because her investigation purportedly corroborated the fact that the husband was dead, but what do you know, now he walks through the door, so he's alive. So we're going to penalize her, and she's not going to be able to go back to her first husband either. So we were talking about whether she gets a ksuba or a mizonos, or any of these guys could be metameter. So we saw all that yesterday. What we started discussing toward the end of yesterday's daf was, again, what happens if she gets married on the koach of two edim? So two edim, testimony of two edim, as we know in halacha, is the gold standard for testimony. And that, in fact, is considered that she got married lo al pi beis din, not that she was doing anything wrong, God forbid, but you don't even need the beis din to really have any formal role in the determination to let her get married, because, again, there were two edim that came and said that the husband is dead, and that's the gold standard for testimony under Jewish law. So the concept over here that the Gemara was trying to drill down on is the concept of my havel el mevad. What should she have done? She could not have done anything differently. And because she could not have done everything differently, we're not going to penalize her. And therefore, when the first husband walks through the door, she's allowed to leave the second husband and go back to be with her first husband. There's a series of six questions that the Gemara was in the middle of asking. We actually only did five of them, so we left off right before the sixth example, where the Gemara thought. To apply the principle of my havel el mevad, and the Gemara ultimately said, no, she actually could have done something, and therefore she's not totally blameless. So most of the cases that we were talking about were if somebody jumped the gun and was kones yevimto, and then it turns out that she was an islandess, or if somebody got married on the koach of a get, that was possel. So we thought to say, oh, my havel el mevad. She thought that she was divorced because she got a get. So what do you want from the poor woman? And the Gemara wound up saying, well, she should have read the get. If she was going to get married on the force of this get, then she should have read the get. So again, we did five of these scenarios. Today we're going to cover the sixth scenario of my havel el mevad. And the Gemara there is going to then segue to a discussion of what happens if the woman was initially married, her husband went off to Medina Sayam, based and said that she's allowed to get married, and then there is a rumor that her husband is alive, but we haven't seen the husband turn up yet. What force does that rumor have? We're then going to talk about when the Beis Din said that she's allowed to get married, and then her first husband winds up still being alive. The psak of Beis Din with the assistance of this one aide who said that the husband is dead, the psak of Beis Din that she's able to get married, is that considered to be a toss, or is that considered to be an actual hara? In other words, is that considered to be an actual psak of Beis Din, or did Beis Din simply blow it? Shkoyach. Thank you, Avram Yitzchak. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Thank him very much for the sponsorship. So again, is the blown psak considered to be an actual psak, or is that considered to be simply a toss? And then we're going to get to a mission in the middle of Amud Aleph, or toward the bottom of Amud Aleph, which is going to talk about situations where a woman's husband and her son go to Medina Sayyam, and there's conflicting testimony as to, they both die, unfortunately, and there's conflicting testimony as to who dies first. And this leads to a whole Leibedik discussion, because whether the son or the husband dies first will drive whether she is chayiv in Yibum and Chalitza. Because if the husband died first, and the husband died with a surviving child, in which case there is no Yibum. If the son died first, then by the time the husband died, there was no surviving child, in which case she is chayiv in Yibum. So the question is, what happens if she thought the situation was one way, it turns out the situation is the other way. So again, a very Leibedik discussion in the Gemara, and that's going to culminate on Amud Beis with a discussion of the concept of Davar Shaloba Liolam and what the halachic status of a Davar Shaloba Liolam is. I'm not really sure that we're going to get all the way up there, but that happens on Tzadi Beis. That discussion takes place on Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. So again, we left off Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, or the rabbi left off Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, and we left off at Amar Ravina. Amar is the last word on the line, and we're 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. So again, we had been discussing the concept of Maya Avalel Mevad to try to establish that at some point when a woman takes action and she appears to be totally blameless, we do not penalize her by forcing her to leave her first husband, because we say, rather, we allow her to go back to the first husband, because we say, the poor woman, what should she have been able to do? She did everything within her power. She can't do anything else. So says the Gemara as follows. So Amar Ravina, Tashma, Kansa Beget Kireach. Let's say that the woman got divorced, but the get that the woman got divorced with was what's called a get kireach. What's a get kireach? A get kireach is a get where the which is considered to be a bold get, because a get's supposed to be written on one page, because when the edim sign the get, they're supposed to sign on the bottom of the page, on the bottom of the page that the actual get is written on. Therefore, it's muchach that the signature of the edim are going on the get. The get kireach is where you have the text of the get on one page, and then you have the signature of the edim on the other page. And the problem with the get kireach is the signature of the Edim is going on nothing, because the signature of the Edim is supposed to be beneath the text of the get. This woman got married with a get kireach, meaning a get pasul. Says the Gemara, teise mizeh umizeh. So she has to leave her second husband because the marriage to the second husband was never valid, because she was never a divorced woman. She was always an eshes ish, because her get was invalid. And she can't go back to the first husband, and that's a knas, because technically she's not really machzir grushaso, because she was never really divorced, but she's not allowed to go back to the first husband because of a knas. So the v'chuli over here says, amai, mai avalei l'mevad, what should she have done? The poor woman, she got remarried on the force, on the basis of this get, that the get turned out to be an invalid get. But how should she have known that the get was an invalid get? So don't we see that we don't say my havelei lemeva? That's the inference that the Gemara is trying to draw. Says the Gemara, Iboy Leila Kriye Ligita. No, this is not a situation where the woman is blameless, because like we saw in the other cases toward the end of the daf in yesterday's shiur, we do fault the woman for failing to read the get. This get is a very, very important document in the woman's life. It is going to enable her to terminate the first marriage and remarry and then marry somebody else. And if this woman received the get, she should have taken the pain, she should have taken the time to actually read the get and figure out whether it's a get kosher or not. So because she didn't read the get, she was negligent, and therefore we penalize her by saying that she can't go back to her first husband. So it's not a situation of Mai Avalei Lemevad. Says the Gemara now as follows. Rav Papa Sover Lemevad Uvda B'Mai Avalei Lemevad. Rav Papa thought to paskin in a situation with the principle of Mai Avalei Lemevad, meaning Rav Papa, the Shaila came before Rav Papa. There's a woman who was married. Her husband went to Medina Sayyam. Two Edim came and said that the husband died. The woman then married another man. Then, what do you know? The husband walks through the door, so it turns out the husband is alive. So obviously, the woman has to leave the second husband. Rav Papa thought to matir the woman to go back to her first husband because she did everything by the book. What could she have done differently? And based on the principle of my evel and mevad, he was willing to permit her to go back to her first husband. Similarly, Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua the Rav Papa for Tanya Kolani Masniyasa. But don't we have you forgotten all the six rayas, Rav Papa, which we just covered on Sadi Aleph and Mabez, where we thought to apply the principle of my evel and mevad, and then we wound up establishing that really the woman was at fault in each of these situations a little bit. So says the Gemara. So Amar Leis, so Rav Papa said Valav Sheninu. But didn't we answer all of these questions? In other words, Rav Papa is saying that what we have just done over the past amud, is we have proven that these cases are not cases of my havale the mevad, because in these cases, the woman did bear a little bit of the blame. She was a little bit negligent because she should have done better due diligence and she didn't, and that's why we're going to penalize her. So Rav Papa said, this doesn't prove that we don't say my havale the mevad. This just proves that these aren't situations of my havale the mevad. So says the Gemara, so Amar Lei. So Rav Huna said, so Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua said, velismoch, so Amar Lei Vashinu Lekel velismoch. So because we fetched out Terutzim, we fetched out interpretations to all of these brises, so we should now assume that we are able to rely on a situation of my avalei lemevad. So in other words, he said to Rav Papa, if it were really true that there was a principle of my avalei lemevad, don't you think we would have found even one brisa where we actually permitted the woman to remain with her first husband because of my avalei lemevad? But what happened in the Gemara? Every single time we thought we were going to permit the woman to remain married, we said, no, she's not totally blameless. No, it's not really a situation of my avalei lemevad. When the dust settled, we didn't have a single situation where we were willing to allow the woman to remain with her first husband on the assumption that she's totally blameless. So isn't that a raya that we don't apply the principle and practice of my avalei lemevad? Says the Gemara, upasak, and therefore our papa conceded, he agreed that my avalei lemevad is not a valid, it's not a valid theory, it's not valid la halacha, because we ultimately never found a situation where we permitted the woman to get married, to remain married to her first husband, rather, on the principle of my avalei lemevad, because we always found some form or some fashion in which the woman bore a little bit of guilt or a little bit of blame here. So says the Gemara in Avaiter, Samar Avashi, Ulakala lo cheshinan. But we're not afraid for a simple rumor, meaning that if the woman's husband goes to the Medina Sayyam and then there's an aid or adem that say that the woman's husband is dead, and then we don't have adem who come and say that the woman's husband is really alive. The woman's husband doesn't actually come and walk through the door, so we don't know for sure that he's alive. But rather, there's a rumor that he's alive. So Rav Ashi says that we're not going to be afraid for the rumor. And therefore, if she got married to another person on the koach of an eid echad with the psak of Beis Din, and then there's a rumor that her husband is still alive, but he never shows up, and there's never any edim that say that the husband is alive, we're not going to be chayish. We're not chayshina, and she doesn't have to leave the second husband. Says the Gemara, Haikala, what type of rumor are we talking about? If this is a rumor that comes out after she's already married to the second husband, so I'm Rav Ashi Chadazimna. Rav Ashi already told us this halacha one time. And the Gemara's assumption is, we're definitely not talking where the rumor came out before she got married to the second husband, because again, she got married with the help of Beis Din, with the psak of Beis Din upon the testimony of a single aid. And the Gemara assumes that it's impossible that Beis Din would have permitted her to get married to another husband, to a second husband, if there was an existing rumor at that time that the first husband was alive, because certainly Beis Din would have done its due diligence and Beis Din would have looked into this rumor to confirm whether in fact the rumor was true. So says the Gemara, it's got to be that the rumor started taking root after she was already married, but then of course we're not going to listen to her. Damar Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi already taught this to us. Damar Rav Ashi says, flipping to Tzadi, any kol that comes out after nisuin is we're not going to be chayish for. What type of kol are we talking about? So Rashi explains, kagon koin shenasa isha, like a koin who marries a woman, ve'achakach yotze alea kol grusha ozona. And after they get married, there starts to develop a rumor that, you know what, she was really divorced, and a divorced woman is, a koin's not allowed to marry a divorced woman. Or the rumor comes out that she was a zona, and the koin is not allowed to marry a zona either. Because this call started to come out and started to proliferate after the Nisuin, we are not going to listen to it. So Rav Ashi already taught us this halacha once. This Tosfos over here, Tosfos Devar Maskol Kol Kala, says that we're talking about that the call that came out after Nisuin has to be a rumor that she was a zona, that she was mezane before Nisuin. And the reason that we don't pay attention to the kol is because Mistama the Kohen did all of his due diligence in the Shidduch process to make sure that he ascertained that she is in fact not a zona. However, if the kol comes out after Nisuin, that she was mezane after Nisuin, says Tosfos, then we would be chayish for this call, because this is not a situation where he could have done his due diligence, or we assume that he would have done his due diligence before he got married, because the whole call was that she was mezane after the nisuin. So for that type of post-nisuin call, we would be choshesh, says Tosfos. But the Ri says that no, it's not the case. The Ri says we're never going to be choshesh for this type of rumor. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the only time we would ever be choshesh for a rumor, the only time we would ever pay any heed to a rumor, is if a person is a person without any sworn enemies. But if the person has sworn enemies, then we're not going to pay attention to a rumor, because we assume that the rumor is not actually a substantiated rumor. The rumor is just some gossip. It's some slander that's being spread by the person's enemies. But back in the Gemara, we had said that we're not going to be choshesh for kol. If a person gets married to a second husband on the force of one aid, Alpi Bastin, and then there's a rumor that her initial husband, that her first husband is alive, we're not going to force her to terminate that second marriage. And the Gemara said, what type of kol are we talking about? It can't be a kol before the Nisuin, because then Basin never would have let her get married. Elamai, it's got to be a kol from after the Nisuin. But Rashi already told us that we don't listen to a kol after Nisuin. Says the Gemara, Ma'al detema dehoil vasoi lebedina vasharinan kekoli dekami Nisuin dami v'tetzar kamash malah not. Says the Gemara, well, because this woman was only ever able to get married to the second husband because she had to come to Basin to matter her to get married to the second husband, because there was only one aid that the first husband died. Therefore, it's as if, in other words, we were struggling with whether to let the woman get married. And therefore, if now there's a rumor that the husband is alive, it's as if that rumor was extant at the time that she got married. Kamash Malan, no, the rumor was not extant at the time that she got married to the second guy, because the rumor didn't come out until after that time. And therefore, once the rumor doesn't come out until after that time, we're not choshesh for the rumor. Says the Gemara, Nisus Alpi Bastin Teitzei, that if she gets married Alpi Bastin, then she has to divorce the second husband. However, Vein Sar Karban, however, the Mishnah had told us that she doesn't require a karban because she gets married al pi haraz Bastin. However, and when Bastin is more betos, when Bastin issues a psak that is betos, then somebody who acts on the psak of Basin does not require, they're not required to bring a personal karban. There is a karban, there is a communal karban that you have to bring if Basin issues a faulty psak that applies broadly to the seabor. However, if an individual acts on the recommendation or on the guidance, on the advice of Basin, with a psak of Basin, and then it turns out that Basin's psak was wrong, then ordinarily, even though if somebody does a sin and they do the sin b'shogeg, a person has to bring a karban, this person is not going to have to bring a karban because they acted alpi Basin. So again, says the Gemara, this is alpi Basin, they say she doesn't require a karban. Says the Gemara, Amar Ziri, lesa lemas nisin, our Mishnah is not really valid, and why? Tani Bei Midrasha, on account of a brisa that was taught in a base medrash. The Tani Bei Midrasha, because in the base medrash they taught thought that Horu Basin Sheshaka Chama, if Basin paskened that the sun already set, Ulubasov Zarcha, but in the end the sun is still shining because it turns out the sun didn't really set, it was just cloudy. Zain Zu Ara Elatos. That this is not considered to be a hara, this is considered to be rather a toz. This is not a mistaken psak, this is simply a mistake. So says the Gemara, there's a very big difference between whether Basin issued a mistaken psak or if Basin simply blew it. So over here, where she went to Basin with one aid, and the Basin said, you could get married to your second husband, and then it turns out that the first husband is alive, Basin didn't paskin the husband was dead. Basin just made a mistake. Like if Basin were to say right now, the sun is shining brightly, that the sun is already set, that is not a real psak halacha. That is going to be a mistake. And therefore, anybody who relies on that quote psak is going to be chayiv to bring a karban. Rav Nachman amar harahui, but Rav Nachman says, no, it is a hara, and just like the case in our Mishnah, and therefore anybody who relies on that mistaken psak is not going to have to bring a karban. Whether something is a psak or whether something is a mistake, and therefore it doesn't have the force of psak, has a nafkamina la halacha, in terms of whether the wrong psak is a fulfillment of Elo Velo Divrei Elokim Chayim, whether it's a shita or whether it's simply a mistake. Also, whether we can rely on that shita, even if it's a minority, if we're trying to find a snif lahakel in order to get to a certain psak halacha. Are we able to rely on this psak at all? Or does it have no force of psak? Is it simply a mistake? So says the Gemara, Samarab Nachman Teda Darai, I'll prove to you that it's a ra, that it's a real psak. The Bakola Tarakula Eda Chalomamen, because throughout Kola Tarakula, we require two edim in order to provide valid testimony. Over here, we're going to believe even one aid, Ba'acha Mehemet. And over here, we believe one aid. So obviously, if Basin is letting her get remarried on the power of testimony of one aid, Basin obviously has to be issuing a psak, because ordinarily speaking, one aid is not valid. Here, one aid is valid for testimony, and therefore, there's obviously some involvement of Basin here. So my time, Elami Shamda Harai, is it not because this is a hara? So therefore, it's gotta be a hara. So Rava says, Teta the Tosu. No, on the contrary, I'll prove to you that this is actually a Tos. Because if Basin paskins that a certain type of chelev or a certain type of dam is mutter to eat, we know that ordinarily there's an iser to eat chelev or dam, but they paskin that this type of chelev or dam is mutter, v'adr chazur taima li sura, and then they reverse their psak. They say, you know what? What we said was wrong. Really, it's usser. Ki hadri vami le'teira, when if they then come back and say, oh, you know what? We were wrong when we said it's usser. Really, it's mutter. We wouldn't listen to them because they already said that they felt that there was a tzad lahachmir, that there was a tzad le'esar. So therefore, it's not considered to be a psak. In other words, if they thought one way, then they change their mind. They can't go back to the first way they thought because it wasn't a psak. Rather, it was a mistake. So avilu echad da'asa eid echad sharinan. And over here, where there was one aid, we were going to matzer her to get married with a koach of Basin. Asu trei asarna. And then if two aidim come and say that the husband's really alive and he's still a Medina Sayyam, then we're going to say, well, she has to leave the husband because she was not able to ever get married to him. Ki hadar asaid achrina sharina la. So if another aid then comes, if another aid echon then comes and said that the husband is dead, would we actually permit her to remain with a second husband? We have two aidim who have come and say that he's alive. So we're not going to say we're going to make it like a tray. No, obviously, the first time that Basin paskined on the koach of the one aid who said that the husband was dead, it was a mistake because the two aidim then came and said that the husband is alive. So my time alami shem the tosu, is it not because it was actually a mistake? So v'afra v'lazar savar the tosu, and also Rav Elazar holds that it was a mistake. The Tani Rav Elazar Omer, Rav Elazar says, Yikov hadin esahar, that we have to bore through the mountain, or the law should bore through the mountain, is literally what this means. V'tavi chata shmeina, and she has to bring a chata shmeina, meaning she has to bring a carbon for relying on this erroneous psak. Says the Gemara, Iam Rav Shlomo d'Tosu, if this was a stama mistake, Mishamachi Masya Karban. That's why she has to bring a Karban, because I understand, because this wasn't a Psak Beis Din at all. It was simply a mistake by Beis Din. Eli Amr Dorayi, but if it was actually a Psak Halacha, Samai Masya Karban. So why does she have to bring a Karban? The Halacha is that you don't have to bring a Karban when you rely on a Psak of Beis Din. Says the Gemara, Vidilma Ksava Rebelezer Yachid Shasa Baraz based in Chayev. Maybe Rebelezer holds that a Yachid who follows a Haraz based in, and it turns out that the Ra was wrong, has to bring a carbon, even though the halacha is that if the Tzibor follows a Psaka based in that's wrong, then they bring what's called a Paralam Dover Shal Tzibor. But if a Yachid follows a Psaka based in that was a wrong Psak, maybe they do have to bring a carbon. So you have no Raya that it was a mistake because a woman has to bring a carbon. Maybe Rebelezer holds that the woman has to bring a carbon even when she follows an erroneous Psak of Basin. So says the Gemara, well, Imkain, if the halacha is that anybody who follows a Psaka Basin has to bring a carbon, Mayik of Adina Sahar. Why do we use this language of, oh, we have to move heaven and earth, and she brings a carbon? So obviously, we're not talking about a case where it's a hara. Obviously, rather, it's considered to be a toast. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter. Haru Basin Linase. So he said, if Beis Din permits her to get married, and then she goes off and she's mizaneh, then she is going to be chayav a karban. Why? Because when Beis Din permitted her to get married, they permitted her only to get married, not to go pursue znus. So says the Gemara, my kilkala, what does it mean that she was mizana? What does it mean that she was makalkel? That's the word that the Mishnah uses. So what does it mean that she was makalkel? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer zinsa, that she performed znus. Rabbi Yochanan Omer almana lekoin godel grusha makalutsa lekoin yadiot. Rabbi Yochanan said that she engaged in a marriage that is usur from a koach of an isur lav. In other words, that she actually violated a lav, because now she's an almana. Let's say she's an almana. She went and married a kohen gadol. She's a grusha. She went and married a kohen hedyot. So Mandi Amar Zinsa, so according to Mandi Amar, who says that if she was mizana, she has to leave terminate the marriages. So the Mandi Amar says that this halacha applies when she was mizaneh, kol shkein almana l'kohen gadol. Certainly, she would have to leave the marriage if she was an almana l'kohen gadol, meaning if she engaged in a relationship which was actually usur with an isur of a lav. But Mandi Amar almana l'kohen gadol, but the Mandi Amar says that she has to terminate the marriage if she engaged in a lav, elbows in salo, maybe if she was tam mizaneh, she doesn't have to terminate the marriage. My taima, the Amra atonu teshavina pnuya, because she could say, listen guys, based in, you told me that we were going to believe this Eidach, that my husband is dead. And if we're believing that my husband is dead, then I'm a Pnuya. And if I'm a Pnuya, then I'm allowed to do whatever I want. I'm not married, so I'm not in a relationship, so I'm allowed to do whatever I want. You guys told me I'm a Pnuya. So says the Gemara, Tanya Kabasi to Rav Yochanan. So we learn a Braisa like Rav Yochanan that Kilkala doesn't stam mean that she had znus as a single woman. It means that she actually engaged in a union which is usur with an isur lav. So Tanya Kabasi to Rav Yochanan, a Ruah based in Linase, if based in Paskin that she's able to get married, Kilkala, and she went, and instead of getting married to somebody else, she was Makalkel. Now the Brisa lists an example. Kagon, Almana Lekoin Godel, Grusha Bakalusa Lekoin Adios, like any of these situations where they're Usar Balav, Chayev is Karban, Alkol Bia Bia, Divra Rebelezer. So Rebelezer says that you're Chayev Karban, Alkol Bia Bia, because when Basin permitted you to get married, they permitted you to get married. They never permitted you to engage in a union that is Usar with an Isar Lav. The Chachamim Omrim Karban Echad Al Akol, and the Chachamim say, no, you're only chayev for one carbon for all of the bios you do with your with this illicit relationship. Either way, the point of the Gemara is that the example that we use when we say that she's chayev as carbon because she had no entitlement to rely on the Psaka Basin is that she went and was violating an Isur Lav, not stam that she was mizana. Says the Gemara, but modem chachamim liberalazar shem nisais l'chamisha b'nei adam shechayev as b'karbon ha-kolachas ve'echad hol v'gufa m'chlaken. That the only time we say that you're only chayev once for every bia is when all of those bias are with one person. But if all of the bias are with different men, then she's going to be chayah for each and every man, because that's considered to be the halacha of gufin mukhlaqin, as the same halacha would be if a person eats a bunch of pieces of chaylev, they would also be chayev for each piece of chaylev if it's behelem echad, if it's in one state of not knowing that the chaylev is aser. Okay, now we segue to a slightly different discussion in the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Yishash alach ba'alab b'nei l'b'nina sayam. So, yeah, have a woman and a woman whose husband and her son go to Medina Sayyam, then the and Edom come and say that first your husband died and then your son died, meaning you are not Chayeves and Yibam, because your husband died first, and when he died, he left issue. He left a child with you, and therefore the mitzvah of Yibam never kicked in. Vinisais, and then she gets married to somebody because she assumes that her husband is dead and that her husband predeceased her son. Therefore, she was never Zokuk Yibam. So she went and got married to somebody in the Shuk. And after that, they come and say, oh my gosh, we messed up. Really, the son died first, and then the husband died. So at the time when the husband died, she didn't have any surviving child, and therefore she was really Zokuk Liibum to the husband's brother, but she went out and got married to the Shuk. So says the Gemara, then she has to leave the second marriage, Vavlad Rishon Vachron Mamzer. And if she has a child from the second marriage, it turns out the child is going to be a Mamzer. The Gemara is going to explain what we mean when we say Rishon Vachron. So Amra, but we're definitely talking about the child with the second husband. Amr La, if they said to her, Meis Benech, Vachachach Meis Balech, first your child died, then your husband died. Vinis Yabma, so she thought she was Chayevus Nibum, and therefore she was Meyabim to the brother of the deceased husband. Vachachach Amr La Chilafayu Advarim, and after that they said, whoops, we got it wrong. First the husband died, then the son died, meaning that she was not able to get married to her husband's brother, because there was no mitzvah of Yibam, so that's erva. So chilav hayu advarim teitzei v'avad rishon v'achron mamzer. Then she has to leave the yavam. She has to leave the husband's brother, and any child, whether born before or after this new edos came in, is going to be a mamzer. So Amrullah, so Amrullah said, then said her, said the next case in the Mishnah. So Amrullah meis balech, if they said your husband died, v'niseis, and then she gets married, v'akakach amru kayim haya, umeis, and then they said, you know what, at the time when we told you that he died, and then you got remarried, he was really alive, but don't worry, now he's dead. So teitzei v'avav risha mamzer v'achron eina mamzer. So she has to terminate the second marriage. Now, v'avav risha means that any child that was born before they came and said, oh, you know what, now he's dead, that child is going to be a mamzer. But any child that was born after they came and said, you know what, now he's dead, that child is not going to be a mamzer. Summer le meis balech v'niskacha. If they said that your husband died and she accepts kedushin from somebody else, v'akakach babala, and then what do you know? Her husband walks through the door. Sumatoras lachzer lo. Then she's able to return to him because she never had nisuin with the other guy. She just accepted kedushin. So afal pi shenasan la'achron get lo pasla min akuna. And if the second guy then gives her a get, she is not pasled for kuna, meaning that the second marriage is not a marriage because she was never a nasui. She was never a nisua. Rather, she only accepted Kedushin. So as Zudarash Rav Elazar ben Masya v'isha grusha me'isha v'lo me'isha ene isha, because the only type of divorcee who's usher to a kohen is an isha grusha me'isha, is a woman who is divorced from a marriage. This woman was not divorced from a marriage because all she had with the second guy was Kedushin, not Nisuin. Therefore, if the second guy gives her a get, he is not going to puzzle her from kahuna. So says the Gemara now, my Rishon and my Achron. We had said in the first case in the Mishnah where the woman's husband and son went to the Medina Sayyam, and they said that first your husband died and then your son died, meaning that she thought she wasn't Chayevis and Yibam. She went and got married to somebody in the Shuk. She went and got married to a third party. And then they said, oh, you know what? We messed up. First your son died, then your husband died. So we said, Teitzei, she has to leave the second husband because she was really Zokuk Liibam. And the Rishon and Sheni is a mamzer. So what's Rishon and Sheni? So my Rishon and my Achron. So Ilema Rishon lifnei Shmua v'Achron la'achar Shmua. So if when we say Rishon, it means that the child was born before the Shmua, that it was actually Chilaf Advarim. And Achron means that the child was born after the Shmua, that it was Chilaf Advarim. So listen to Avlad Mamzer. So why don't we just say Avlad Mamzer? In other words, why don't we say Rishon v'Achron Avlad Mamzer? In other words, in any case, no matter when the child was born, relative to the new testimony that came up as to the sequencing of the death of the husband and the son, the child is a mamzer. Says the Gemara, Mishum Degaboy Lemisni Seifa, because we have to learn in the Sefer that Amala Meis Palech Minises, if they said that your husband died and she gets married, Vachakach Amale Kaima Yumais, and then they say, oh, you know what, he was alive, but now he's dead, Harishon Mamzer, Vachranena Mamzer, Tamenami Rishon, Resha Vachran Mamzer, because in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we do distinguish between whether the child was the product of a union from before the New Testimony or after the New Testimony. That's why we use the Lashon of Rishon and Achron in the Resha of the Mishnah as well. Tana Rabbanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This is the Shita Rabbi Akiva, Shaya Omer in Kedushin Tovsin B'chaive Lavin. That a Kedushin is not Tovfes B'chaive Lavin, and therefore there is a Mamzeres, that you can make a Mamzer from a Chaive Lavin. However, Abba Chachamim Omerim, but the Chachamim say, Ain Mamzer Miyavama, that there is no Mamzer by a Yavama. In other words, because the Kedusha Shnia was betos, and therefore, because this is only an Isser Lav, right? The Isser of a Yavama to marry, the Isser of a woman who is Zokuk Liyibam, who is Zguka Liyibam, to marry somebody else is an Isser Lav, it's an Isser of Yavama Lashuk, which is only an Isser Lav. So the Chachamim say that there is no Mamzer from a Yavama. V'lema ein mamzer b'chayv elavin. Why do they use this weird language of ein mamzer b'yavama? Why don't they just say ein mamzer b'chayv elavin? They disagree with Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says that yesh mamzer b'chayv elavin, the Rabbanan say ein mamzer b'chayv elavin. Says the Gemara, haitani hachtana de Rabbi Akiva, d'amar b'chayv elavin d'sher avi mamzer. Well, we can't say ein mamzer b'chayv elavin because it's not so cut and dry. Because this shita is the shita of the Chachamim Ali de Rabbi Akiva, who say that there is mamzer b'chayv elavin only when the chayv elav is a lav of incest, but where it's a lav of not, that's not incestuous, like the lav of Yavama Lashuk, of the woman who's Zakuk Libam getting married to somebody, to a third party, then we are not going to say that there was a mamzer b'chai ve'lavin. So, the share of imamzer, mechavi lavin, grey de lo avi mamzer. Right. So, in other words, ordinarily speaking, chavi lavin does not make a mamzer. It's only chavi lavin of she'er, of incest, that makes a mamzer. Amar Rav Yehuda, so says Rav Yehuda, Marav, finally switching to tzadi beis and mabeis, so we're going to have to catch up tomorrow, obviously. Minayin chen kedushin tofsin biyavama. How do we know that kedushin is not tofus by a yavama? Shenemar lasiya eishas ameis hachutza liish zar. And it says, losiya eishas ameis lachutza. In other words, lo tehe ba havaya, that the woman doesn't have the koach to get married to somebody else besides the yavam, because it says lo siya, meaning that there is no havaya, there is no kedushin which is tofes with this woman. Ushmul amar bani yoseinu tzricha get, that because of our anias, we require a get. In other words, if the woman was actually zokuk liibam and then gets married to somebody outside, she will require a get from that person, because Shmuel said we're mesupik when it says lo siya eishas amesh lizar. Does that mean that there is no havaya, that there is no kedushin that takes effect with that other man, or is it stam saying that it's aser bisr lav? So the Gemara explains mesafkele l'Shmuel hay lo siya eishas amesh ila lav hudasa idlo tafse be kedushin hudasa. Does it mean that there's an iser lav, or does it mean that kedushin is mamish not tofes? So Amar Lei Rav Mori Baruch El Ravashi. So Rav Mori Bar Rachel says to Rav Ashi, again, Rav Mori is called Rav Mori Bar Rachel because his mother was Rachel, who was Shmuel's daughter, and his father was Isser Giora, who was Ma'ane Shmuel's daughter, but his Haroso was Shalob Bektusha Veleidosa Bektusha. Isser eventually was Megayer, but he was Megayer after he had relations with Rachel, with Rav Mori's mother, and therefore to not call attention to this, the Gemara always calls him Rav Mori Bar Rachel by his mother's name. So Rav Mori Bar Rachel says to Rav Ashi, "Hachi Amar Ameimar Alacha Kavasei De Shmuel." The Alacha is like Shmuel. That we are choshesh for tfisas kedushin, and therefore she requires a get. So Rav Ashi, "Hasha Demar Ameimar Alacha Kavasei De Shmuel," and therefore since Ameimar says that Alacha is like Shmuel, Imhaya Yavama Kohen, if the Yavama was a Kohen, Choletzla Visharile. That we make him do chalitza, and therefore she then will become permitted to the second husband. So says the Gemara, because we're choshesh for a get. Remember, If the second guy gives her a get, then the Kohen, who is a Yavam, can't do Yibam with her because he's a Kohen and she's a divorcee. So therefore, we just make the Kohen do Chalitza, and therefore she can stay with the second husband. So says the Gemara, Iskuri Iskar, Imke Matsinu Chotein Iskar. So, but in that case, we're going to see that Chote Niskar, in other words, because it's a chait if she's a Yavama who marries out Lashuk. Ella, Ima Yavama Yisrael, no Sein Law get, no Sein Law Sheini get, Vahutra Law. No, what we mean to say is that if the Yavama is a Yisrael, in other words, if the one who's doing Yibam is not a Kohen, but is rather a Yisrael, then we force the second husband to give her a get, therefore she could do Yibam with the first husband. Therefore, it's not a case of Chote Niskar, because she is ultimately going to do Yibam with the actual Yavam, and therefore everything will be okay. All right, so obviously we have ground to catch up, but we'll pick up from Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, God willing, tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.